Many in Scotland are calling next month's referendum vote the most important decision they'll make in their lifetime. On September 18th, voters aged 16 and older will answer the question, should Scotland be an independent country? Media rhetoric in the UK is heating up to a rolling boil right now, and the controversies and issues behind the referendum are being spread out for the rest of the world to see. So I've asked three of my favorite tour guides from Scotland to shed a little light on what this vote means to them. Anne Doig lives in Edinburgh. Colin Mares lives in Glasgow. And Liz Lister comes to us from a small town in a region still known as the Kingdom of Fife. And note that while polling trends may sway a bit since the date we recorded our conversation, the entire United Kingdom is paying close attention day by day as voters in Scotland determine the future of their union. Liz, Anne, and Colin, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Now, Colin, when you talk about secession, what is the basic issue in a nutshell?
Well, the current situation is that Scotland is part of the United Kingdom. When we say United Kingdom, that's, Scotland, England, Wales, and Northern Ireland. So the issue is Scotland wants to break away from the rest of the United Kingdom and be its own independent nation.
And Liz, when London looks at that, why would London even care?
Well, I think that at the moment, many in Scotland would say that London is not particularly caring. I think that at the moment, the polls are showing that there's a very heavy majority for those that wish to belong together, to remain part of the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a complacency in London that this won't happen. And suddenly, as the polls are beginning to swing, suddenly London is beginning to sit up and take notice. And I think London is going to have to start, by London, I mean Westminster and the government, are going to have to start producing a strong case of why Scotland is better together as part of the United Kingdom.
So do I understand that London or Westminster really didn't think it was a serious threat, and all of a sudden it looks like it actually might happen? And in Scotland, most people figure they could do it if they wanted to, but it's serious business and they might want to not have their wish come true, because then they got to deal with the reality of being an independent country in a rough and tumble world, and it might be more comfortable to be a part of the United Kingdom. And what is the situation with that?
Well, that's absolutely right. Apparently, according to the polls, it's people of my age and women that are change averse, and we don't really have enough information about the actual implications. And so some people are a bit nervous about that, because change is kind of scary. And at the moment, it's on the radio and the TV all the time. You hear Better Together campaign and the Scottish National campaign, and you get statistics from both of them, and your eyes glaze over after about 10 minutes.
The problem really is that you've got one side telling you everything's going to be great for independent, the other side telling you everything's going to be really bad. And you don't, each person has to make their own decision.
I can imagine young people waving the flag and going, independence. And I can imagine older people going, wait a minute, who's going to pay for our this?
Well, exactly.
And who's going to pay
for
that?
It's easily split, young and old.
Talking to ordinary people in the street, there is a real interest in it, that it's not going to be an emotional decision. Here's to us, who's like us. It's going to be a rational decision, and people want information. So that's not just the intelligentsia. That's the ordinary common man and woman that they want to make. They realise that this is a once-in-a-generation decision, and they want to make an informed decision.
And this is an opportunity. I mean, London is going to go with the will of the Scottish people. London won't come in and stop this.
No.
London may sort of buy some advertising and raise its voice, but basically it's a Scottish decision within the Scottish community.
The agreement has been signed between the Scottish government and the British government in London that this will decide, and both sides will agree.
Anna, do you see yourself as Scottish or British?
Well, I'm British, but it depends on who asks you. I live in Britain, but we always say Scottish first, because if you travel around Europe, if you say British, they think you're English, and nobody seems to like English people, so you're much better. They say, oh, Scott says he, wonderful.
You've got that luxury of being able to pick and choose. If Britain wins a gold medal in the Olympics, Britain. And if somebody screws up, no, we're Scottish.
I like to say that, well, I'm British by passport, but I'm Scottish by the grace of God.
That's good. Now, within Scotland, do you identify with a region or a clan, or is everybody kind of Scottish?
I think the days of the clans have largely passed. There are still people who have strong affinity, who meet at clan gatherings or whatever, but for the ordinary person, the clan system really doesn't have much impact nowadays. It's much more about
political, economic, and Scotland. Yes. Is Scotland viable? Now, Scotland does have the advantage of North Sea oil, which makes you much more bold when it comes to stepping out for independence. Does that embolden Scottish independent movement?
It does, yeah. A real serious movement for Scottish independence began in the 1970s with the discovery of North Sea oil. So currently the situation is that the money from North Sea oil goes directly to London and is then redistributed throughout the UK.
And Scottish people could be a little upset with that because you're subsidising, people down in the south who are just kind of hanging out.
But then the English would call us the whinging Scots, and that's part of the problem because we have what's called the Barnett formula, by which the Westminster government devolves a budget to Scotland. And I think the majority of Scots people, if it had been an option, would have gone for the third line, which would have been devo-max, which would have been further devolution of powers to include fiscal powers.
The English would call you the whinging Scots?
Whinging Scots.
What does that mean?
Whining. We're always gurning and moaning and saying, it's no fair, it wasn't fair.
That's what that is, the word whinging Scots. Okay, now there's a special, unique kind of twist to the law in favour of Scotland? Or what?
No,
what was
there's
it?
A formula whereby Scotland is allocated its budget called the Barnett formula, and nobody understands it. So the south of England, and we have to remember that England is many regions, many of them as large as Scotland. So when we talk about England, we tend to talk about the south of England. Okay. You know, there are regional problems, whether it be Cornwall, whether it be Yorkshire, they have the same issues as Scotland.
So the British budget, out of that budget, a certain allocation will go to different regions. And from the accountant's point of view at Westminster, Scotland is a region that gets so much money. Mm-hmm. But I understand with this formula, Scotland actually has more power than other regions, or what is that?
Well, Barnett was a civil servant, and per head of population, Scotland gets 5,000 more per person in London. So we get the highest amount from the national pot. And people in London, if they know about it, feel resentful because London produces so much for the British economy. But the argument, it started way back in the 70s, the Barnett formula, and it was to stop the movement towards independence. If Scotland got more money, it was compensating for the North Sea oil.
So Scotland is getting roughly $10,000 per person
more
from the British Empire every year
British government.
To keep the Scottish people enthusiastic about being part of the UK and to compensate them for the fact that they've got North Sea oil. Yeah. It's like Alaskans get a little bit of an extra bonus each because they've got so much oil under their houses and it pumps the economy.
But I would put the question back to you. How would you feel if in the United States of America you had your state governments, right, and you had your federal government, but Alaska's state government was your federal government because it's got the power in Alaska. So instead of all states being equal, you know, Westminster is both the English Parliament and the UK Parliament. So what I think Scots want, above all else, is respect.
And are they going to get it?
This is where I think as the polls begin to move more and more and more to the danger of a yes vote, respect might begin to come onto the agenda.
Yeah. Now, the danger of a yes vote. That's interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Colin, what is the danger of a yes vote for Scottish independence?
The danger for Scotland?
Yeah.
Well, the danger is we don't know
what
comes next. Exactly, yeah. There's a lot of issues that will need to be resolved, like do we continue to use the pound sterling? Currently, we use the same currency, of course, as England and Wales and Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
We are supposed to be.
They say we will at the start. Will it change
things? Defence
is a big issue. That's a big issue, yeah.
You might have a little, what we'd say, egg on your face coming back to Westminster, knocking on the door, say, anyway, we could be part of something, let's call it the United Kingdom or something like that.
But an important point to mention also is that the people who do want independence for Scotland, they want to just leave the United Kingdom, but still stay part of Europe. We still want to be in the EU. And that's another issue, which is, as it's a new country, we would have to reapply.
To the EU?
To the EU, yeah.
But I think the one thing about the establishment of the European Union is that more regions like Scotland get a little more emboldened to have autonomy because, you know, you can break away from Britain, but you can't break away from Europe. You're part of Europe. And that seems to be something that is hard to deny.
Yeah, so it's small nations within a united Europe, yeah.
Scottish residents Liz Lister, Cullen Mares, and Anne Doig are sharing their perspectives with us on Travel with Rick Steves. They're updating us about a referendum on independence from the rest of Britain. They'll be voting on that on September 18th. You can share your thoughts in our online forum on this or any other topic you hear on the program. There's a link to the forum in the radio department of ricksteves.com. Of course, in Scotland, there's a big discussion about independence, but Scotland has its own parliament. I mean, I understand from 1707 on, the Scottish Parliament was dissolved and all the governing was taking place at Westminster. But just a decade or two ago, Scotland won a referendum, established your own parliament. You got a beautiful parliament building in Edinburgh, and tourists can visit it. And what's your complaint? You got a parliament.
Absolutely, and that has really brought a sense of unity to Scotland in having our parliament. But at the moment, the powers of that parliament are limited, where it's things that relate to Scotland only, like education, rural affairs. Those are governed by our Scottish Parliament, but immigration and taxation in particular are retained by Westminster. And it's mainly the fiscal powers which are the area of greatest debate as we move forward to the referendum.
I would like to jump in there because I think one of the main issues amongst the Scots was the military. We don't have any power in Scotland over going to war. Mm-hmm. It's the British armed forces. And it was a very unpopular war, Iraq, and there's a lot of Scottish soldiers, and the decision was taken in London. Huge, huge outrage in Scotland about that. And also, we have the nuclear deterrent for the UK just outside Glasgow, the nuclear subs, and it makes us a target. And it costs a fortune. We're just upgrading it, and it's costing billions. And an independent Scotland would not have nuclear deterrence. They'd rather spend the money on hospitals, roads, etc. And I think that's an important point, is defence. There would be, according to the yes, there would be a small defence in Scotland, you know, armed forces, but nothing like on the scale of the UK, because the UK still sees itself as a world power, and Scotland says, no, we're not.
Let's
have schools and hospitals. And that's where I tend to want to vote yes.
Yeah. That is a fundamental issue.
Yeah,
and I know that Britain can jump into a military adventures for whatever relationship with the United States and so on, but historically the Scots have died in greater proportion for British wars than the rest of the British people.
Yeah. Since the Battle of Culloden, when the British government crushed the uprising in the
Highlands
of Scotland.
So there is this militaristic spirit in Scotland, and the Brits have taken this and used it for
They adopted the Scots into the British army.
It was said that the Scots took the king's shilling. It was the only way for many of them that they could survive. It was the only way of earning a living.
So that's what's called enlisting, for economic survival. Take the king's shilling.
And also the right to wear the kilt, because the kilt was outlawed. So, you know.
Whoa. So now the Scots are tired of taking the king's shilling, some of them, and that's one reason.
Well, it's all different now.
It's all different. And this whole nuclear thing, that takes a whole different dimension to it. And to be a target.
Yeah.
And not even to be in control.
Yeah.
So you're going to take the hit again in a much grander way, potentially, than sending more soldiers to Afghanistan than you should or something.
Trident, that's the name of it.
There's different issues and different reasons why people will vote yes or no. But recently I had a friend who had a phone call. It was from the Labour Party. So that's one of the political parties in the United Kingdom. And they were asking, just doing a survey, just asking how you're going to vote in the referendum.
Yeah.
So my friend, he said, well, I'm going to vote yes. I'm going to vote in favour. And he said, and can we just ask, what's the reason for that? We're going to give three options. Is that because of Alex Salmond? He's the head of the Scottish government just now. He's the leader of the party that won independence.
Right.
They said, or is that because of Scottish oil? Or is that because of Scottish identity? So he said, well, for me, it's identity. It's about...
That's what your friend said?
Yeah. He said
that. Okay, well, let's close this interview with a little survey right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking with Anne Doig, Liz Lister, and Cullen Mares, three Scottish guides from three different cities, Fife, Edinburgh, and Glasgow. The big election is coming up September 18, 2014. At this point, I'll ask each of you what you're going to vote for and what you think Scotland will vote for. Simple as that. Anne Doig.
Well, I'm Switzerland at the moment. I keep changing my mind. At the moment, the polls are with the no vote, the Better Together, but that could easily change. And Alex Salmond's very clever. This referendum is on the anniversary of the Battle of Bannockburn, which was a great victory.
Oh, it's
and he's
having a vote in Texas on the anniversary of the Alamo.
Exactly. And also he's reduced the voting age from 18 to 16. And it's the young kids that get all emotional. And I have to say, I've got a knee-jerk reaction against nationalism, because the Nazis were sentimental and national. And I want to have a really sort of that identity thing, I would totally disagree. For me, if I vote yes, it's because of we're a target, because of nuclear, because of defence, going to foreign wars that we're against.
Well, so, I am very thoughtful, and you're still on the fence. There's a lot of discussion between
I need more information.
Cullen.
Just to pick up immediately on the fact that Anne's comparing it to the Nazis, that the Scottish National Party is not right wing. It's not.
They're not Nazis.
It was
a sentiment.
It's not an exclusive nationalism.
Right. It's an inclusive nationalism. We have lots of immigrants come to Scotland, and we're.
I get a sense you're going to be voting yes.
Well. How did you guess?
Okay.
I'm going to vote yes.
And what do you think is going to happen?
I think it might not happen.
Right.
Yeah.
And finally, you're the tie-breaking vote, Liz.
Well, the first thing is that when we vote for independence, we're not actually voting for the Scottish Nationalist Party because there will then be an election. So that's the first thing. So right from the outset, I have wanted to make an informed decision. So I've been with Anne, I'm Switzerland in the middle. Mm-hmm. But while we've had a white paper from the yes side, we've had nothing but negativity from the no side, better together side. And the more that I'm told as a Scot that I can't do it, that I won't be part of Europe, that I won't be able to survive, that we'll lose North Sea oil, the more I'm swinging towards a yes vote. So that's just the belligerent Scot in me.
That's a beautiful Thrawn. Political sentiment, because we have the same thing in our country where some people are just no, in order to get people on their side. And what you're saying is, I'm not going to respond to that. I need a little bit of yes in some way. Mm. And I get a sense that the vote is, it's a little unfortunate because there's only two choices and there's probably different alternatives that could have been considered mm-hmm. enough for a vote. But now your country is left with black or white.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's and a huge we'll... opportunity to look at the UK constitution and to give the respect to each of the four constituent nations.
Well, I hope it works out well, and I'll be traveling there in the future to just check it out. Anne, Liz, and Cullen, thank you so much for an insight into some excitement that's going on in Scotland. Best wishes.
Thank you.
No sweetness, the senses can cheat. Which corruption and bribery bite? No brightness that gloom can ne'er clear, for honor's the sum of the mind. Let the love of a land sacred rise. Let friendship and honor unite and flourish on both sides of Tweed.
That song from Scottish singer Jim Malcolm is called Both Sides of the Tweed. It was written in 1979 to describe an important event in Scottish history when the Treaty of Union between England and Scotland was enacted back in 1707. The lyric wishes well to residents on both sides of the river that divide Scotland from England. You can hear more from Jim Malcolm and get touring suggestions in Scotland from our guests. You'll find them in the Travel with Rick Steves program archives. Look for program number 363 from this past May. It's in the radio section of ricksteves.com. Next, we'll learn from friends who live in distinctly different parts of Europe about how women's issues and challenges depend as much on the local culture as they do on the laws of the European Union. We're at 877-333-RICK.